Blog Talk Radio.
When the tomb was open wide.
the Lord. Hallelujah. I think Brother Bill is going to open up with prayer tonight. Brother Bill? Brother Bill.
Hey, Pastor. Can you hear me? Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes, just open up with prayer.
Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to cover this show. We plead the blood of Jesus over this show. I do hear an echo. And in Jesus' name, Father, I ask you to surround everyone listening with the fire of the Holy Ghost and your warring angels in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of Jesus over this show. I ask you to draw people from all the four corners of the earth in Jesus' name. We bind every hindrance, every spirit that would try to keep them from coming up, every spirit that would try to keep them busy, Father. Everything. We bind it in Jesus' name. And we ask you to shake the people, to wake them, to show them that it's time to come and listen tonight in Jesus' name. We bind and disconnect every devil from everyone's mind that is listening that would keep them from hearing your words tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're all in one accord up here. We just want to praise you, Lord. We want to know more about you. We want to be close to you like your disciples were. We want to know what you're thinking, Lord. We just want to hear your voice clearly. And in Jesus' name, I ask for all of the family members of everyone that listens to this show. I ask that you would save their souls in Jesus' name, that you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Holy Spirit, that you would draw those people at night, that you would give them dreams and give them visions, that you would save the souls of all of our lost family members, that we would see it with our own eyes, because we know that you're returning very soon, Jesus. We ask you to put workers in their path, Father. And in Jesus' name, Father, we ask you to send angels to read the Word of God over them. We ask you, Father, to send angels out to war for the souls of all of our family members, because we claim them for your kingdom. We accept that promise that you give us in Acts chapter 2, that not only us, but for every one of our family too, in Jesus' name, and we'll give you praise and glory for that. I thank you, Father, that you have given us pastors like Pastor Pat and Pastor Sabrina, ones that know how to set the captives free. We thank you for that, Father, and we just lift up this work to you. We ask that you would send it far and wide, that you would draw everyone to this show that you want to be set free and delivered in Jesus' name, and that you would open up everyone's revelation knowledge, and that you would pour in the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God, and you would open up more of your secrets to them, Father, as you teach them spiritual warfare, as you teach them how to defend themselves, as you show them, Father, and that you would show anyone that is listening tonight any kind of mind control or stuff that has been worked on them in the past. We bind and cancel all the triggers and anything that would keep them from hearing from this tonight. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. And I soak everyone's mind in the blood of Jesus. I soak every avenue in their mind in the blood of Jesus. Every part of their mind, every part of their soul, every part of their spirit. And Father, if there are any witches you want to bring up here in Jesus' name, I command their powers to be taken away, and I disconnect every devil from their mind and loose the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I loose the conviction of the Holy Ghost over all of our lost loved ones too, in Jesus' name. And I just give you praise and glory, praise and glory. And I ask you to show us what you want us to hear tonight, and I bind up the fowls of the air and everything we try to steal this message in Jesus' name, and we give you praise for it. Praise and glory. Draw the people, Father. Draw them. Jesus.
Amen.
Are you still?
Thank you, brother. God bless you all. Jesus is here in a big way. And we're here to learn about Jesus. Now, friends, we're not here to learn about the devil. We know about the devil. We all had past lives that we lived with the devil. We want to know about Jesus, and we want to know about his anointing and his abilities and his powers to protect us. You see, when you become a Christian, you step out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And when you step into the kingdom of light, what happens to you is you are stepping in the light of a Savior that is the ruler of the entire world. He rules over the planets, over the universe, says there's more than one. He is God, and he's above every God, and he's particularly above the devil. That some people, they want to give the devil so much power over themselves and over their lives, when, you know, the Lord that we're teaching about here is able to take care of you if you'll let him. If you get your eyes on the devil and the wiles and the nastiness of the devil, then you have no room in your mind for faith. When the devil attacks you, what this is all about is that, yes, you're in a spiritual conflict. Yes, you have inward battles, according to Romans 7:23. But I see another law working in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And so this inward battle that you have is a battle of sin. And friends, you need to get your eyes on Jesus. You need to get your eyes off of yourself and on to the glorious presence of Jesus. Because when you step into the presence of Jesus, let me tell you something, no devil is going to be in that circle with you, because Jesus is very, very powerful. And Jesus is certainly able to protect his people. And so first thing you have to do is you have to engage with your spiritual weapons, which are shown in 2 Corinthians 10:4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds is anything over your mind, your spirit, your body that you don't have control over, that has control over you. And so what you have to do is you have to rise up and take your spiritual weapons that we teach you about on this program and begin to war against the powers of darkness in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because you see, Jesus is able to overcome every spirit. And the battle is not yours. The Bible says the battle is the Lord's. And sometimes when Christians discover that the devil's real and his kingdom is real, they will begin to center in on his kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. They'll begin to center in on the problem instead of the solution. And the problem is overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You see, if you confess that you're failing, that the devil is constantly attacking you, and what you are doing is you're giving the devil credence of his power. And the power of God is overcoming power. And instead of sitting and listening to what the devil is saying about you and your life, you're supposed to rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and with your weapon of the Word of God, and you are supposed to speak to the problem, not agree with the problem that it's working, but speak to it and bind it up and say, you get out of me, you get away from me, I belong to Jesus Christ, I do not belong to you. And you will loose me in the name of Jesus right now. You have no rights to my mind, my body, my spirit, my life, my finances, and whatever the problem is, and you say, you get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you. I cage you. Now, isn't that simple to understand? Because while it's true that there are invisible foes warring against us, we always, every second of the day, have superior power over the powers of the enemy. In Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, you see, when God called you into the kingdom, he equipped you for battle, for spiritual battle. And what this program is about, it's not to lift up the powers of the devil and what he can do. It's powers of God and Jesus. That's what we're interested in. And you know, the weakest Christian has more power than the strongest devil. Believe that, because your big brother stands right in front of you, waiting for you to speak the words so that you can come overcome these devils. And the word is, I bind you, I bind you, leave me alone, I bind you. You have no rights over my mind, I bind you. You have no rights over my body, I bind you. That's your spiritual weapon and your spiritual power. Now, whenever young soldiers are enlisted for the battle, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." And so somebody is not always going to be there to war your battles. God will let you have somebody to teach you and somebody to war your battles until you get strong enough and knowledgeable enough to understand. But at some point, you have to begin to open your mouth and speak the word to the powers of the devil that are attacking you. If you just remember that no devil has any rights to attack your mind or any part of your body or your finances or whatever's going on. No devil has any rights to those things. You have a right to rise up and take authority and bind it, speak to it in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, Jesus will come on the scene and the battle will be won. You have to begin to fight a fight of faith. You see, faith, Paul talked to Timothy also, and he said in 1 Timothy 6:12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on the eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Now, what Paul is saying to Timothy, yes, you have to take hold of your eternal life. You have to fight the fight of faith. And you've been called to do that. It's not something that God saved you and just left you out in the middle of the street. He's teaching you how to defend yourself against all of the oncoming cars, whatever the devil was sent across your way. You've got to rise up and fight the fight of faith. Now, how do you do that? And he explains it right there in that scripture. He said, thou art also called, Paul was telling Timothy, you're called to fight the fight of faith, Timothy, and to profess a good profession before many witnesses. You see, the words of your mouth will either free you or they will cage you. And some witches never have to work on Christians because Christians crucify themselves with their tongues by professions of giving the devil power. You see, you give the devil power when you disbelieve that God can overcome his power. And so you've got the power that sits on the throne of the universe, and the devil's tormenting you. What are you doing? What are you doing in defense? Are you binding that devil? Are you telling him to go into the cage? Are you covering yourself with the blood of Jesus? Or are you putting the fire of the Holy Ghost around you? Let me tell you, the devil is not as powerful as you think he is, but he is as powerful as you think he is. Now, what did I say? I said he's not as powerful as you think he is. The devil has no power when it comes to God's people and him. But he is as powerful as you think he is. If you don't rise up and take dominion over that devil that is tormenting you and say, stop it, call on the Lord Jesus Christ in his name. Call out to the Father and say, Father, Father, these devils are not paying any attention to me when I use the name of Jesus. What can I do? Please send the biggest warring angels that you have to make these devils accountable to the name of Jesus. You see, devils have to obey the authority of Jesus Christ. But you can't use the authority unless you know how to shoot the gun. You see, when a cop is trained, they put him on the shooting range, and they teach him target practice. And he shoots, and he misses, and he shoots, and he misses. And then finally, one day, he figures out how to get his eye lined up with his trigger finger and with the target. And he coordinates all three of those things, and he shoots the target. You have to learn to shoot the target, and you have the authority. In the name of Jesus, you have the power in the blood of Jesus. You have the weapons in the armor that God gave us over in Ephesians chapter 6. And so all you need to do is to begin to use what God has given you to overcome, because God wants you to fight. To fight the faith fight. Now, this demands spiritual warfare, according to Paul when he talked to Timothy. It demands your entire concentration when you're in a spiritual battle. In 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And you can look up later Hebrews 10:32 and Revelation 12:17. So you are a chosen generation, and you are a chosen soldier. You may be in training, boot training, but God wants you to rise up now and to begin to speak what you're reading and enforce the enemy to bow his knee to what you have to say to him. And what you have to say is, I'm God's property. I no longer belong to you. Get your filthy hands off of my mind. Get them off of my body. Loose me in the name of Jesus. I'm calling my big brother on you, Jesus. And Jesus comes running. Let me tell you something. Jesus is more powerful than any devil that you've ever read about, that you've ever met, that you've ever heard about. Jesus is the power of the universe, and he's able to protect his sheep. Amen? Now, let's just look at 1 Samuel 17:45. The Bible says, "Then David said to the Philistine, Thou comest at me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield." In other words, he was telling that Philistine, you have a physical sword, you have a physical spear, and you have a physical shield. And you're going to come at battle with me with your physical things. But then he told the giant, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. And so David was just a boy whenever he set this battle up, but he knew from reading and listening to the Lord when he wrote hymns to him out in the shepherd's field, watching over his sheep, singing him love songs and battle songs, hearing the battles of the men of the Old Testament and the women. So he knew that he was serving a superior God. And though that giant was bigger than him, and that giant had King Saul cowered up on the mountaintop, and that giant had his five brothers cowered up on the mountaintop, and that giant had the entire army of Israel cowered up on the mountaintop, this little boy knew his God. And he said, no way, Jose, you're not going to come at me with your physical swords, because I've got something stronger than you. And that's the name of my God. Now, Christians, you have something stronger than any devil that's coming at you, and that's the name of Jesus. Get acquainted with Jesus. Spend more time in fellowship with Jesus. As Brother Marshall tells us, go and take communion. But don't just ritualistically take communion. Oh, thank you for your blood, God. Thank you. Let's get in the depths of the spirit of fellowship with Jesus. He said, do this in remembrance of me. That's not just to remember that there's a scripture in the Bible that says to do that. That's to get in the presence of God. And that is to fellowship with God in communion. And if you will get close to Jesus and get to know Jesus through his word, you can use that name and it'll work for you every time, because you'll realize that you're associating with the God of the universe. And so the name of Jesus, this young boy knew the name because he sang love songs to God. You can read them in the book of Psalms. This guy went to battle in the name of Jesus from childhood right on up until the end of his life. He faced the enemy with the name of his God, and he was successful. And we can face the enemy with the name of Jesus. And so, friends, don't give the devil so much credit over your life. He's not supposed to be pushing you here and pulling you there and making you think you're not saved. The armor of God tells us that we are supposed to put on the armor of God, and the number one part of the armor is your helmet of salvation. And your helmet of salvation, if it's on your head, you're not supposed to be receiving fiery darts from the devil, because they'll come and hit that helmet. Well, when you place the helmet of salvation on your head, what's going to happen to you immediately is You're going to say, I'm a child of God. I'm saved. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. The Lord is my God. He surrounds me. His blood is over me. The blood, the wall of fire is around me. God is building a hedge around me that no devil can come through that hedge, because I trust in the Lord, my God. That's the kind of talk God wants to hear from his people. He doesn't want to hear you whining about how many devils are attacking you. He wants you raising up, defeating those devils, friends. He wants you to know that he and you are a majority when it comes to devils. And all you've got to do is get your big brother on the scene, and whap, they're gone. Friends, grow up. Ask him to help you to grow up, and ask him to help you to grow up very, very quick. And your weapons is the name of Jesus, and they're not carnal. And your weapon of salvation, you have the sword of the Spirit. And what is that sword? In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of the soul, spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so your sword is the word of God. And when you take that sword up and you begin to speak that word of God into the enemy, that enemy flees. The Bible says, resist the devil, and then he flees. If you're not resisting the devil with the word of God, the devil is going to stay. If you're not using the name of Jesus and you're arguing with him instead of resisting him with your sword, the word, and the power of the name of Jesus, and your position as a blood-bought saint in the name of Jesus Christ, he'll overcome you. Now, in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own lives until death. You see, when we ask for you to give a testimony, or now if you need deliverance, we want to deliver you. That's not what we're talking about. But you get to a certain stage that you need to grow up to the point that you can give a word of testimony as to what Jesus is doing for you. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ can save you, and every time the devil's attacking you because you don't believe that you're saved, then there's nothing anybody can do for you. You're going to have to get to know your God. You're going to have to get to know that Jesus is above every devil. And you're going to have to get to know it all the time, every time, all the time. And so I went into all of this because as we're teaching you about the wiles of the devil, I don't want you to forget the power of God for your divine protection. Amen. And so now we're going to take you back into mind control for a little bit tonight. Everybody in this day and time are under some sort of mind control. If you watch television, you're under very, very deep mind control. They have subliminals that they're flashing into your mind constantly. If somebody watches television for hours, they say that they drop into light trances, some into deep trances. And when you're watching those television sitcoms, that they're not funny. I mean, they have fake laughter on there. And when they pull the laughing machine, then you're supposed to laugh. And it never worked for me. I'll tell you, I'd look and I'd say, but I don't see anything funny about that. And so, but they try to get into your mind, to take over your mind. And so television can be a mind handler. Movies, another mind handler. Rock music. We have to deprogram people when they come out of rock bands. We have to do deliverance on them and disconnect them from those rock bands that were sending out mind control and subliminals to their minds when they listen to their music. And what a lot of people don't understand, television, rock bands, movies, children's stories, books, haunted books, books on sex, pornography, all of these things are mind-controlled things that the handler will get a hold to your mind and will begin to work in your mind so that they can totally control your mind. Now, the first thing that you have to see is everything that goes on in your life from the time you're born until the day you die is recorded. It's recorded in your mind. And your mind is like a computer. And you have a conscious mind and you have the subconscious mind. And the conscious mind is the part of you that rules over you as an individual. It's the part of you that tells you right from wrong. It's the part that sends a message to your will that says, don't do that, that's dangerous. Or it says, that's okay, you agree with that, that's okay. It's called your conscience. And so if you have mind controllers and handlers manipulating your mind, it messes up your will. It messes up your conscious mind to be able to make good judgments concerning your life. And so what the mind handlers do, now remember, it's not just the government that we're talking about here. It's not just the witches and the wizards. These particular people are mind controllers. We're talking about things that most people do every day. We're talking about the televisions. We're talking about getting under a person that is a wizard or a witch that knows how to get control of your mind and knows how to become your mind handler. And you can either let that happen or you can stay in power of your own life. And the way you stay in power of your own life is to protect your mind. Your mind is very, very important. Now, let me tell you, God does not create zombies. You hear me? God has a two-way system. When you speak to God, God can turn around and speak back to you. And God speaks to you in different ways. Sometimes God will speak to you through the Word of God, and He will give you a scripture. And then, after He gives you that scripture, He will open that scripture up to you, that scripture becomes like a whole sermon, where it's might be just one little scripture, but he will open that thing up to you in your mind and make it come alive to you, because it is a word of God for you for that moment. It's better than any so-called prophet or prophetess prophesying over you. Because when God does it that way, you know that you heard from God. And so whenever something like that happens, God has opened up a communication with you through a scripture. And this is an opportunity for you to sit with God and say, wow, Lord, I've never seen that before. I've never understood that scripture like that before. And then suddenly he'll open up something else, and then he'll open up something else. And then you've got a two-way conversation going on with your Lord through the Word of God. And so he didn't create us as zombies. As a matter of fact, there's a scripture that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means that God wants you to be very, very aware every day that you were saved, and for you to have that personal communication relationship with him. So, mind handlers are mind controllers. That's what the difference is. They want to get into your mind, to take over your mind, so that you lose your rights to your will. Once they take control of your mind, and once they take the power of that subconscious mind, and they do that, remember last week's sermon, they put you in a trance, they hypnotize you. And once they get your conscious mind in a state of a conscious trance, then they're able to open up your subconscious mind, which is filled with all of your life experiences in there. Everything that you've ever done, that's a master control. And so then what they do is, if they can get control of the master board, they can change the way the master board thinks. They can change the values of the person. They can change everything about the person. They can change a person that was a zealot for Jesus to a cold-blooded Satanist if they can get a hold to that subconscious mind. Now, once they get a hold of the subconscious mind, the mind manipulator, through using the power of hypnosis, will simply place a person in that altered state of consciousness, which is a trance, and use a systematic program to create what the psychologists and the psychiatrists and the mind controllers and handlers, call crafted personalities. What I call, as a deliverance ministry, are activated devils. Now, the mind handler can manipulate or alter the personality as the foundation for program couriers resistant to torture, where the primary personality would not even be aware of the secret information being carried. Now, what I just told you is this. The manipulator can get a hold to the person's personality, and they can take the primary personality and block that personality off from the cadre of devils that they have placed in the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind will take over the person's activity instead of the conscious mind. And they can, at that point, they can control that person to be able to carry secret information from one person to the other person. This is how it would work as a military mind holder, controller, or it can be carried from one person to the other. Now, you know, witches and wizards work this same way. If a person is under the power of a wizard, and the wizard has a garland tied around the neck of the person, it's like a telephone call or a telephone cord connected to the person and then connected to the wizard. And the wizard, everything that that person says can be heard by the wizard, and every phone call that that person makes can be transcribed and carried back to the wizard by the watchers, or what we call reporters. And so if you think that a wizard has any kind of power over you, what you would have to do is you would have to disconnect from the wizard by breaking the garland. It's that simple. You break the garland, and then you bind the watchers and the reporters.
And the peeps. Peeps.
And the peeps. Okay. And so that's what you have to do. And so when you do that, what happens is you break connection with the wizard, and you put up a wall between you and the wizard or the witch. And the way you do that is you say, Lord Jesus, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. I surround myself with the wall of fire. And I ask you, Father, that you build a hedge of protection around me like you did Job. And Father, send warring angels also to fight against these devils that are warring against me. That's the way we do spiritual warfare. Now, I'm going to show you how this works. Whenever you say, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. We were ministering to a woman locally some years ago that was going to a coven. And this particular woman was coming to our meetings on Friday night, and she was going to the covens on Saturday night. And she was pretending to be a Christian. Well, you see, the Lord talks to ministers. And the Lord told me, he said, she comes here on Friday night. She's going to the coven on Saturday night. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to just preach to her. Just tell her what the Word of God says. Nothing else. So she would come, and I'd get up, and whatever God told me to preach, I would preach. And one day, we were walking together over in the mall, and all of a sudden, she grabbed me by the arm, and she says, come on, we got to run. I said, why? She said, here comes my entire coven down the mall. I said, well, you don't have to run. And I took her by the hand and held her very tightly. And I said, Father, cover us with the blood of Jesus. And I held her stationary. Though that coven came, walked right past us, never saw us. And so the power of hiding under the blood is real. When you say, cover me with the blood, there's a scripture that talks about, hide me in the rock. And we always have to call Jesus the rock. So you're hiding under the rock or in the rock, and nothing can see you when you're hiding under the cover of the blood. Now, let me tell you how this works with wizards and witches. There was a witch by the name of Doreen Irvin. And Doreen Irvin is from England. And she was a very powerful witch. She became the queen of the witches of Europe. And Doreen Irvin said that they used to go out on the marsh. We call it the marsh. They call it something else over there. But it's like a marsh. And they would do their rituals out on that marsh, her coven. And some preacher got a hold to the fact that they were going out there. And so he said, well, we're going to go out there and challenge them. Now, there's going to be two points to this. One point is that he wasn't prepared to challenge them because he did not know spiritually what he was even dealing with. But he grabbed his a little group of people, and Doreen and her people were out on the marsh, and they were all nude because witches do something that they call sky cladding, and they do their rituals in the nude when they do that. And so they heard people approaching them, and they started to, they said, let's get out of here. Doreen Irvin said, no, you just stand still. And she called a great mist, like a fog down on them. And she said that they were out there looking. She said at times, she said, I could have reached over and touched the preacher. And they were very sure. She was absolutely certain. She had absolute faith in her God that when she spoke and called down the mist, it would happen. And so she said when they left, she dispersed the mist, and then they continued their ritualisms. Well, you see, we come up on Blog Talk week after week after week teaching people up here on Blog Talk how to protect themselves, how to put yourselves under the blood of Jesus, how to resist the devil with the spoken word of speaking the word of God. And yet they'll come up and they'll say, I do it. I say I cover myself with the blood, but it doesn't work. Well, how is it that when a little witch speaks the word of God to her God, it will work? And when Christians speak the word of God to their God, they can come and say it doesn't work. Well, why doesn't it work? Well, it's not working because you don't believe it. It's not working because you don't believe it. If you believed it, it would work. And in order to believe it, you have to get close to the Lord. As we just earlier told you, you have to, as Marshall says, take the communion every day. Get the Word of God open and say, Lord, I'm going to look up the scriptures about communion. Marshall did a teaching on this program some time back where he talked about Holy Communion, and he has talked about it several times since. And so when you hear the Word, put it into practice. Do the Word. The Bible says it like this. Faith without works is dead. So So I can teach you the word of God from now until Jesus comes. But if you don't do anything with what you're learning, it isn't worth anything to you because it's not going to work. You see, you have to put your hand to the plow. You have to begin to do what you know. When I got born again, my daddy was Antichrist. He hated Jesus Christ. And I remember that I sat in a class and the teacher says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loose in heaven and earth. And the preacher explained to us that we speak, we bind you, and it will happen if we speak in the name of Jesus. Well, I took that scripture. I about wore my Bible out with that one scripture because it worked. There was another girl that came to my teaching some time ago, and I was teaching on binding and loosening, and she was walking around, I bind this, I bind that, I bind this, I bind that. And one day I said to her, don't you ever loose anything? She said, what's that? In other words, she was walking around with half the scripture, and it was working for her because she believed it. But the other half of the scripture, she hadn't gotten. And I said, well, when you bind the devil, you loose the things of God. If the devil has bound your finances, you say, Satan, I bind you off of my finances. Lord, I ask you to loose my finances. Now, tell me what is so hard about learning that. That is easy. And you speak the word, but you have to speak the word in faith and belief. Because if you don't know who Jesus is, and if you speak the word and you don't believe it, you don't know who Jesus is. Amen? Mm-hmm. And so, you have to get in the word for yourself. You have to let it play over you. You have to cry out to Jesus. You have to pray. If you don't know how to pray, you know, we have a book up on Miracle Internet Church called Spiritual Weapons. Get that book. Study that book. It's filled with scriptures to teach you how to take your spiritual weapons and defend yourself. And so the mind controller can be disconnected just as simply as I do it when you get to understand that I'm not a particular person in Christ Jesus, that I'm not special. All of his people are particular people in Christ Jesus. And all of his people are special because his cross is an equalizer. His blood, when he shed his blood, it hurt just as bad when it bled for you as when it bled for me. And so begin to understand that you are a child of God and no devil has a right to hassle you. It doesn't matter if you have a family full of unbelievers. I have a family full of unbelievers. I've been praying for my family for years. But you see, I know that when their time comes, God will get them because I serve a mighty God. So it doesn't matter if you live. I had a witch one time to come and live right in my house. Didn't have a place to live. And I said, Lord, I'm going to invite that woman in my house. And if you can't protect me against a little witch, I will not serve you ever again. She lived in my house for 2 solid years and finally became a Christian. But her little doings had no power over me. I had power over her. And I don't suggest you do this. I just know who I am in Christ, and I know who he is in me. And that's a little bit different than probably some of you are at this point. But the truth is that we have more power than we can ever use. And we have more power than many of us never use at all. Amen? And so the hypnosis and the handlers, they can come from people within churches. They can come from infiltrators. They can come from politicians. What do you think it is that you're watching sometimes when you see politicians up there speaking and everybody's going crazy and shouting, and you look and their eyes are batting 90 miles a minute? Do you know that when somebody's under mind control, that their eyes bat up and down very quickly, like lights twinkling? And if you knew that and you watch a political thing and you just sit there, you can see people's eyes just going crazy. Then you know that the people, this particular person, is using mind control over the masses of the people. People can use mass mind control called linguistics. And it's a way of mass hypnotizing people by using certain phraseologies, by using certain cadences in their voices. And they're taught those things in college. Obama was taught that, as a matter of fact. And so have many other politicians. Hitler had that. Remember how people would fall under the powers of mind control when in masses, when Hitler would get up and speak. And it just sounded to me like he was just screaming. But no, you looked at the people. They were very, very serious, throwing their hands up in the air, screaming, "Heil Hitler." Mind control is more simple than what you think. It's not exactly the word I need. A lot. It's used more than you can imagine.
Frequently
is a good word, yeah. Than you can imagine. And the mind controllers and the mind programmers have been trained to do what they do. The wizards, the witches, have been trained by demons to do what they do. And so, but you see, you say, well, now, Dr. Holliday, if what you're telling me is true, what about me? How can I protect myself? Well, first and foremost, let me explain this to you. I teach you these things so you can protect yourself. You now know that they exist. Now, you can go back out the next time a sci-fi movie comes, or a Harry Potter show comes, or one of these monster movies come, and you can go right in there and sit yourself down in the movie theater, and you can sit there and enjoy your flesh and your mind in whatever's going on in there. When you walk out, let me tell you, you have been accessed. ACCESSED. And so before a deliverance minister can set a mind control person free, they have to work on the accessing issues. They need to understand how the mind control slave can be accessed. Now, you can willingly be accessed, or you can put guards up over your mind, and you can pray and ask God to make you single-minded, a single-minded person is a person that believes the Word of God, believes Jesus, believes everything that he tells them. A double-minded person is a person that one minute they believe God, but the next minute they don't. And so whenever we deal with a double-minded person, we have to go in and we have to clean up their minds so that we can bring them to healing, to the feet of Jesus with a single mind. And salvation, by the way, has a lot to do with that. So now, how do they get accessed? They can become accessed through the media. They can receive what we call access codes, colors, story schemes like The Wizard of Oz and Harry Potter and things like that. Pictures in newspapers, televisions, Christian televisions. You get more mind control watching Christian television most of the time than you do worldly television, by the way. Ads, radio, news, events that are broadcast in all fashions. So now, in other words, you're coming up on Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to Pat Holiday, and you need to do defensive war every time you hear somebody preaching the word or somebody talking to you over the radio. You need to say, Lord Jesus, let's just say it. Say, Lord Jesus, Supreme.
Lord Jesus.
I give you my mind.
I give you my mind.
I thank you that I belong to you.
I thank you that I belong to you.
I cover my mind with the blood of Jesus.
I cover my mind with the blood of Jesus.
I thank you, Lord Jesus.
I thank you, Lord Jesus.
That I can have the mind of Christ.
That I can have the mind of Christ.
I thank you.
I thank you.
That you are able to heal my mind.
That you are able to heal my mind.
From all mind control.
From all mind control.
That I have been subjected to.
That I have been subjected to.
Throughout my life.
Throughout my life.
Throughout religions.
Throughout religions.
Catholicism.
Catholicism.
Protestants.
Protestants.
Through mind-controlling pastors.
Through mind-controlling pastors.
Mind-controlling evangelists.
Mind-controlling evangelists.
Through Christian television.
Through Christian television.
Through ads.
Through ads.
Radio.
Radio.
News events.
News events.
Broadcast of all fashions.
Broadcast of all fashions.
I ask you right now.
Computer.
And the computer, yes.
And the computer.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I ask you to bind every controlling spirit.
And I ask you to bind every controlling spirit.
And tonight.
And tonight.
I break the powers.
I break the powers.
Of Leviathan.
Of Leviathan.
Leviathan is the mind-controlling spirit. And it has seven heads. And I cut off all of those seven heads.
I cut off all of the seven heads of Leviathan in Jesus' name.
And I cut his tail off.
And I cut his tail off in Jesus' name.
And I command him to leave.
And I command him to leave.
And all of these media spirits.
And all of these media spirits.
That has been worked into my subconscious mind.
That have been worked into my subconscious mind.
I bind you.
I bind you.
I bind the spirit of fear.
I bind the spirit of fear.
And trauma.
And trauma.
And I command.
And I command.
You to leave me now.
You to leave me now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now, I want you to take a deep cough and you're getting rid of trauma, fear, and Leviathan. Right now. Take a deep cough. everybody that's listening, deep coughs, and you'll get rid of those. And all of those access codes.
And all of those access codes.
And all of those schemes and pictures.
And all of those schemes and pictures.
I break their powers.
I break their powers.
And I command them to go.
And I command them to go.
I bind you, Satan.
I bind you, Satan.
You will open the doors.
You will open the doors.
To my subconscious mind.
To my subconscious mind.
And all of these spirits.
And all of these spirits.
On this highway.
On this highway.
Called media.
Called media.
That I just described.
That I just described.
You come out of me instantly.
You come out of me instantly.
Now just take a deep cough and cough them out. Cough every one of them out. All the way down to the belly. Cough them out. All of us have had this. If you've ever watched The Wizard of Oz, or if you've ever watched, Prince. The magazines and books and pictures and educational materials and newspapers, pamphlets and brochures, all of them come out.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Just cough them out. Cough them all out in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, if a person has control over you, that it could be an evangelist. It could be a pastor. It could be a teacher. It could be somebody that you know. It could be a witch or a wizard, that sort of thing. Now, this is how they trigger you, okay? They can trigger you with, just a minute. Yeah, cartoons and science fictions, children's fairy stories, and movies. Mm-hmm. Just speak it out.
Nursery rhymes.
And nursery rhymes have a big part. We call them out in the name of Jesus, and you will come out now over everyone listening. Just take a deep call. Now, I was just describing to you another category now. We're in person to person, and how the person triggers you. And they can be the witch, the warlock, the pastor that's not real. Remember, when I talk about pastors, I'm not talking about God's pastors. But you have to test them to make sure they're real, just like I told you to test me to make sure I'm real. You plead the blood of Jesus when you go into the church. And over your mind, and ask God to take control of your mind and to open your mind up to the Word of God and to truth, right? So now, person to person, the way they can trigger you is through eye blinks, like they could blink their eye to you three times, something like that. Hand signals. They can shoot you different occult signs, body gestures, clothing colors, words, karaoke song selections sung. Other victims of mind control, taps such as three taps. The arrival of a particular person, one's children, one's boss, or one's relative. Now, these are things that they would do to trigger you. And what that means is like, let's say that they were going to trigger you with an eye wink, and they just eye winked at you, that they would have put you in a trance previously, and while you were under the hypnotic trance, they would say, when I wink at you, you will And whatever the command for that would be, you will do it. You see what I'm saying? And so we break all triggers from any person that has ever had any power over us in the name of Jesus. And we go into our subconscious mind and we command those triggers that we just called and noted out. Every one of them. Come out in the name of Jesus. Take a deep call and let them come out. Now, technological. This can be sounds in Morse code. It can be brake lights. It can be like flickering lights. Like, what do you think's happening, for instance, when the young people go into these dark places and they have the strobe lights and all of those things going? That's called, the devil is putting them in a trance, and he is taking their minds over during that trance. Now, here's some more. Headlight flashes. Gunshots. Such as 3 gunshots. Blank telephone calls. Telephone calls where numbers are said over the phone to you. I know a man that won't talk on the telephone, won't pick up the phone. His wife usually picks up the phone, and if he knows the person and trusts the person very, very well, he'll come on the phone. Otherwise, he doesn't take the phone calls because of what we're talking about here. Of putting him in a Manchurian candidate trance, okay? So then, late calls from the master, from your master. Airplanes flying certain patterns in an area. Helicopters flying certain patterns. Lights on helicopters. So, Father, we take authority of the technological triggers in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, another trigger is, just a moment, is items, keys. Now, just keep remembering that just because somebody hands you some keys, that doesn't mean that they have control of your mind. We're talking about triggers that a mind controller has had over your mind. And since we've included the media, books, and all of these things, we are calling all of these triggers out of us in case any of these triggers were ever placed in our minds from the media and these things. You might not have a wizard or a witch doing anything to you, but you certainly have watched movies that you shouldn't have, read books that you shouldn't have, and that's what we're working under. And of course, if you've ever had a witch or a wizard come at you, we're working on that too. Business cards, certain tokens, certain bills, letters, and get this now, such as chain letters. If you ever get a chain letter, don't ever answer it. Don't ever involve yourself into that, because that's a trigger and it's a form of witchcraft. And colors on cars, statues at sites, signs, houses, colors on houses, and buttons. So we bind all of the items up of triggers, and we command those things to come out of our minds right now in the name of Jesus. Now, what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to take control of the subconscious mind and We're going to have to ask God to cleanse our subconscious minds from any kind of witchcraft power over them or any kind of devils. Just totally cleanse our minds. Now, if you have ever been under a person, man or woman, that calls themselves inner healers, you need to break connection with that person because they are using hypnosis, psychology, and they're using spirits from the dead in those ministries. And they're using pure witchcraft mind control. So if you ever went to someone to heal your emotions, God can heal your emotions. Jesus can. And you don't have to go all the way back to your when you were born and go through every bad thing that ever happened to you. That's not why you have a subconscious mind, is to cleanse it from. Do you realize that the bad things that happen to you are the things that happen to you that eventually bring you to Jesus? Have you ever thought of that? In other words, all of those bad things that ever happened to you have caused you to stumble and walk around in a lot of darkness. It made you know that you needed something. It made you know that you needed a Messiah. And so when they cleansed your subconscious mind in the inner healing ministry, they were working in an area that they had no right to be in that part of your mind anyway. Amen? So I want you to disconnect and say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I repent.
I repent.
From anyone.
From anyone.
That put me into the inner healing ministry.
That put me into the inner healing ministry.
Took me back for me to forgive my dead father.
Took me back for me to forgive my dead father or mother.
Or anyone else.
Or anyone else.
And had that thing appear before me.
And had that thing or occurrence appear before me.
Because that was just a devil.
Because that was just the devil.
My mother and my father.
My mother and my father.
Are where they are.
Are where they are.
They're with the Lord.
They are with the Lord.
And I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord.
That they have forgiven me.
That they have forgiven me.
But most of all.
But most of all.
I have forgiven myself.
I have forgiven myself.
And I close that door.
And I close that door.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And I ask you, Jesus.
And I ask you, Jesus.
To remove.
To remove.
All of the demons.
All of the demons.
That were put into me.
That were put into me.
In the name.
In the name.
Of inner healing ministry.
Of inner healing ministry.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now just cough those devils out. All of them. Everyone. Cough them out. Deep coughs. Cough them out. Now say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I know.
I know.
That I have unforgiveness towards my father.
That I have unforgiveness towards my father.
And my mother.
And my mother.
And I forgive them today.
And I forgive them today.
If they're alive.
If they're alive.
I ask you to forgive them.
I ask you to forgive them.
And I ask you to save them.
And I ask you to save them.
And today.
And today.
All of those spirits.
All of those spirits
that have come into me.
That have come into me.
Because of unforgiveness.
Because of unforgiveness.
Bitterness.
Bitterness.
Every devil of sickness.
Every devil of sickness.
Cancer.
Cancer.
Arthritis.
Arthritis.
All of the devils.
All of the devils.
Of gall.
Of gall.
I think a lot of people get gallbladder problems because of unforgiveness. Stomach problems.
Stomach problems.
every problem that I have in my body.
Every problem that I have in my body.
I nail you to the tree.
I nail you to the tree.
To the cross of Jesus Christ.
To the cross of Jesus Christ.
You have no power over me.
You have no power over me.
No power over my emotions.
No power over my emotions.
My mind.
My mind.
My body. Nor my spirit.
Nor my spirit.
And in the name of Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus.
I command.
These spirits.
To loose me.
To lead.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Now take a deep, deep call. And I renounce. All fairy stories. I'm looking at
all fairy tales.
Chaplain Tom's.
And nursery rhymes.
Nursery science fiction,
science
fairy tales,
fiction.
Nursery rhymes. Harry Potter. Chronicles of Narnia.
All of the witchcraft entertainment.
Yeah, and wives that manipulate husbands. And control men. And husbands that manipulate wives. And control them.
And control them, and boyfriends and girlfriends and friends and neighbors also.
And wives and mothers.
And
we fathers. break the powers.
Tonight.
Of all controlling spirits. Over our life. And we wash our subconscious minds. With the blood of Jesus. And we close the doors.
To all manipulation.
We bind the spirit of octopus.
We bind the spirit of octopus.
Now, octopus is a water spirit, and so is Leviathan. And there's also a squid spirit. And the way these spirits operate, we've already bound them. But they control the mind, but they also take their tentacles and they wrap them around certain parts of your body to make you sick, like around your heart to give you a heart attack, or around sugar diabetes,
liver and pancreas,
and other parts of your body. So what we're going to do is we're going to cut their legs off.
We cut their legs off and their tentacles off.
In Jesus' name,
and we undo the suction cups where they have sucked themselves onto our organs in Jesus' name.
Right. And in the name of Jesus,
we command
them to come out. They're disarmed.
They go into the cage.
And all of these spirits
that we have worked with tonight
must come out
and get into the cage.
Now, what I want you to do is I want you to say, Jesus Christ, I belong to you. You belong to me. And I give you my mind.
My body.
And my spirit. And I thank you. That you are a mighty God. That you are big. That you are huge. You have angels. That can block out the whole sun. You have angels. That have one foot on this continent. And the other foot on the other. Huge angels. You have more.
Than I could ever cry out for.
In terms of weapons and power. And today.
I ask you to give me.
The gift of faith.
The gift of faith.
Fill me up.
fill me up
with your faith.
With your faith.
And every time.
And every time.
That I go into the Word of God.
That I go into the Word of God.
That I receive faith.
That I receive faith.
And more faith.
And more faith.
Each and every time.
Each and every time.
Fill me, Lord.
Fill me, Lord.
For I am filled.
For I am filled.
With the knowledge.
With the knowledge.
And now.
And now.
I need to be filled with the power.
I need to be filled with the power.
Of God.
Of God.
You said if we needed to know anything.
You said if we needed to know anything.
To ask you.
To ask you.
And that's what we just did.
And that's what we just did.
And we thank you.
And we thank you.
For the fire of the Holy Ghost.
For the fire of the Holy Ghost.
To come in.
To come in.
And burn out.
And burn out.
All hidden.
All hidden.
Controlling spirits.
Controlling spirits.
We erase all triggers.
We erase all triggers.
All codes.
All codes.
We throw them in the trash can.
We throw them in the trash can.
They have no power over our minds.
They have no power over our minds.
Or our bodies.
Or our bodies.
Or our faith.
Or our faith.
Ever again.
Ever again.
We give you praise.
We give you praise.
And glory.
And glory.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And now I'm going to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Everybody give God a
praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank
praise
you.
The Lord.
Put your hands up.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We give you praise and glory. I'm going to be putting up people to call. People to call in. I'm going to. Oh, I see somebody that needs to come in. We're going to put up the. Phone, but Marshall is here, and I think Marshall has some things that he wants to serve to give us tonight, and we're going to put up the calls in just a moment, but Marshall, you go and take it with what God is showing you about how people can be free and stay free, too. And you've got about 15 minutes.
Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to amen and amen to the fact that Jesus is bigger than the enemy and that he's got all power in heaven and earth. And the Father says to us in Luke 12:32, he says to us, his children, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And he says unto us in Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And where is that kingdom? And how does it get where it goes? It says in Luke 17:21, "The kingdom of God is within you, Christ in you, the hope of glory." Well, how does he get there? By faith. Faith in what? And, you know, there's a lot of people who say, "Well, I've got faith." Well, you know, some people, Christians, talking about, "I've got faith in my faith." Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just kind of simple. You know, somebody, you know, I saw a big, heavy person sit on a chair when I was little, and I figured, well, gee, it held him. I guess I can sit on that chair. It'll hold me, too. And kind of it did. And I said, gee, that was great. You know, and there's some things that have taken a little while to catch on to. But there's an amazing amount of power that Jesus has, and it says in Ephesians 3:19, and we're going to get back to what the faith is, 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." So, the thing I just want to emphasize is something that the Lord has been showing me is, you know, when we're told to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, well, what's his faith in? I mean, he asked the Father, "If it be possible, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but thy will be done." He did come, and he came in, put on flesh. You know, it says in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had, that's past tense, by the way, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So he destroyed the enemy. And it says in the Gospel of John, Father, I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. It is finished. So he did a completed work. He didn't forget to do it. So we just have to reinforce what the victory that he already won, which we talked about, I guess, on Wednesday in Galatians. Help me, Jesus. Maybe I better turn there. Colossians it is. 2:13-15. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that is made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Now, I think that is really awesome news. Wow. Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's forgiven us all our trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was, this is all past tense, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. So what is Jesus' faith in? He says, no greater love hath any man than this, in John 15:13. No greater love hath any man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. Why did he do that? It says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no removal of sins. And we probably don't need to emphasize the fact that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I think we've all heard that. But we have in the past. We've missed the mark in the past. But he had to come and shed his blood so that he could give us back the dominion that our many, many, many great-grandfather in the natural, the first Adam, lost. But he regained it. And why? Because of his blood. It's all because of the blood. And it says in Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh, that is the soul, or the nephesh in the Hebrew, of the flesh, is in the blood. And Jesus says, and I've given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. He's made an atonement for our minds, for our souls, so that we can know a peace that passes all understanding. Even like it says in John 14:27, Jesus says, peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. How can we do that? Because of the blood. Because it says in Acts 20:28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. God's own blood. Jesus is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And, you know, we get to see that glory. We get to see that grace, and grace and glory. It says in the little book of Titus, which is shortly before Hebrews. For by grace are you saved through faith?
Anyway, I don't hear her up there. I don't see the two up there. Rhonda?
Is
Rhonda 601?
No, Rhonda's 601. She was up there early.
Yeah, she ain't there now.
Robin was up there early too.
Well, you see, they knew I was talking directly to them, but...
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, are you there?
I keep hearing muted and unmuted. I don't know if anybody's hearing me or if I'm just having a nice conversation with myself.
I can hear you.
We can hear you now.
Okay, well, I could hear you two talking, too, a few minutes ago, so I don't know what's going on, but praise the Lord. I know Jesus is in charge. I don't have to worry about a thing.
Okay, well, we were trying to, I was trying to hear you. I couldn't hear you.
Okay. So, yeah, I think somebody hit a button or something.
Okay.
But
well,
anyway, I just wanted to talk about the fact that we get to see his grace, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith. And I think a lot of people don't know how to fix their eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And it says his eyes are red with wine, and it says his eyes is a flame of fire. But it says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And we're supposed to look to Jesus. And it says in Isaiah, I think it's 45, it says, look unto me and be ye saved. I am God. There is none else. Let's see if I can find that quickly. Isaiah 45, yes. A lot of people don't realize how powerful this is. It says in Isaiah 45, starting at the end of verse 21, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. Is Jesus the Savior? He's my Savior. That's what the word Jesus means. It means Savior. That's what God picked his name before he came in the flesh. Of course, Jesus has always been. He's the eternal word. But it says in Isaiah 45, 21, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, in verse 22, and be saved, all the ends of the earth. I am God. There is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth, righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. And that is just so amazing that God loves us so perfectly. I just want to remind, help me, Jesus. First of all, I want to command every ungodly spirit to not steal a single word of God from any one of our hearts and minds, of all those that are listening, have listened, and will be listening, in Jesus' name, and all those connected and related to us. And no ungodly spirit may interfere with a single word of the living God from entering into our hearts and minds as Jesus wishes, in Jesus' name. And no ungodly spirit may interfere with a single word of God being expressed, the word of the true and living God being expressed from any one of his ministers exactly the way the Lord Jesus desires, whether it be verbally or non-verbally or any way he wishes, in Jesus' name. For Jesus, who has all power in heaven and earth, as it is written, Matthew 28:18, says unto me and each believer, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And Father, I do rejoice that our names are written in heaven. For you said in the last verse of Isaiah 59, and this is my covenant with them, the spirit that I put upon you and the words that I put in your mouth will not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed from henceforth and forevermore. And that's your word, Father God. And you told me to call in your remembrance of your word, and I do. And I thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Ghost to teach us. I ask you to send the Holy Ghost afresh to guide us and teach us all tonight and from henceforth and forevermore. Give us all a hunger and a thirst for Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is our righteousness, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. And then I just want to touch on the fact that, just quickly, there's a couple of verses that have been brewing in the last few days in me here. But it says in Ephesians 2:13-14, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So if any of us are feeling a little bit removed from the Lord, that's how we get close really quick, is by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, it says in the beginning of Ephesians 2:14. And it says in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. It's the peace that comes from the blood of God being shed for each one of us. If God, who spoke the galaxies into being, the God who spoke everything visible and invisible into being, like it says in Colossians, that is the Word of God, Jesus himself, who spoke you into being and me into being, and everything listening, even the spirits listening, he spoke everything into being for his purposes, and we're all created by him and for his good pleasure in Jesus' name. Well, he has a reason for each one of us, and he wants the believers in the blood of Jesus. That's the believers in Jesus. You can't believe in Jesus without believing in his blood. And here's why. Because Jesus believes in his blood. That's why he went to the cross. It wasn't optional. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus, like it says in Galatians 6:14. We glory only because he died for you and me. Not because any of us have it all figured out. Pat has a lot figured out. She knows the Lord really well. But guess what? He didn't even take Enoch home until he'd been walking with him for 360 years. And maybe a mature saint, but she's not that mature, not yet. So praise the Lord. And Jesus has faith in his blood. He said, as for as much then as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In that verse in John 3, I think it's 14, just before John 3:16, he said he had to be lifted up. He had to go on the cross. He knew we had to shed his blood. And if you want to look it up, you can look up Matthew 26:2 and Matthew 20:19. Jesus foretold his crucifixion before he was crucified, when he was still walking around as a man in the flesh. He knew he had to be crucified, and he knows, because he's the Word of God, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, there's no removal. He had to shed his blood to save Pat, to save each one of us. That's the only way. And God has faith in the blood. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he, Father God, loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, whom God set forth, it says in Romans 3:25, whom God set forth a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God has faith in the blood of Jesus, in the blood of God. God has faith in the blood of his Son to redeem you and me and every believer. And that's why, how could we even be worried about the enemy? He who withheld not his own Son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him also freely give us all things? And then I think about that dear brother in the Lord who grew up, speaking of being mind-controlled, as a Hindu in Nepal, and he was a tank commander in India, and he heard the gospel, and he received Jesus as his Savior, and then the Lord used him mightily for his kingdom. And when he was in prison, and there was a prison break, and I've told this story once or twice before, but it's just so amazing. I met this man face to face. He's home with the Lord now. But a man came in with a rifle just a few feet from him and said, you know, we're leaving the prison. You have to come with us. And Prem pauses. And he says, no, my God tells me to stay here. You go ahead. And the man tries to shoot, and the gun misfires. It doesn't work. And he resets it or whatever. And then it shoots, and it ricochets off the wall behind Prem and hits the guy who's shooting in the knee. And Prem, very quietly and calmly, says, you're wasting valuable time. The garrison, the army garrison, just up the hill, they'll be here shortly. See, Prem wasn't worried about himself. Now, he didn't say, no weapon formed against me will prosper, but he knew it. And he knew that his God would protect him because of the blood of the covenant. And his God did protect him. Against all logical odds, he didn't flinch. And it says in the Word, I think it's... Anyway, it's 1:28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. We don't have to be worried about the enemy. And I hear about Smith Wigglesworth, who was in his bedroom, and the devil himself appeared. And the devil is a created being. He's only located in one spot. I hear he's over in Afghanistan or Iraq. I mean, He's not bothering you personally. He has a little kingdom that he rules over that's been defeated. But anyway, Satan came, tried to scare Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth said, oh, it's only you, and rolled over and went back to sleep. That's where we need to be. We need to be just so like, he's done. He's finished. It's over. It's of no consequence to us. And then when you read the scripture in, help me, Jesus, it's in Isaiah, I believe it's 14, that word is, Lord, that it says, are you the man? They're talking about Satan as just this created being, this little pipsqueak of a created being. Are you the, yeah, he's different. He was not created in God's image. And I think he's a little bit out of shape about that. He wants to be like the Most High, but he can't. He's a created being. Jesus created him. The Word of God created him. A lot of dear Mormons, they're deceived people, don't know. They think they're brothers. They're not. Jesus, who is God, created Lucifer, who was a fallen angel. So let me see if I can find that quickly. I know Pat wants to get on with other things.
You got plenty of time.
But anyway, I've been more than 15 minutes here, but I just want to share this. help me, Jesus.
It's Isaiah, I think, 14.
Yeah, Isaiah 14. It's talking about Lucifer, you know, and starting verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cast down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, see, this is that spirit of pride. I will ascend into heaven. He said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights, he says, of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, in verse 14 of Isaiah 14. And then going on, it says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They, here it is, verse 16 of Isaiah 14. They that see thee, that see the this little created being named Lucifer, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And all the kings of the nation, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch. He doesn't even get a good burial. Nope, he's going into the lake of fire. We know that in the book of Revelation. And as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Anyway, it's enough. I think you got the idea. Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, and he can't lie. And that there's so many scriptures, such as Titus 1:2, and Hebrews 6:18 says it's impossible for God to lie. There's a bunch of scriptures that say God cannot lie. And it says, even in Kings, not one word failed of all his good promises. All came to pass. And so when you get to, I think it's the most favorite verse that Derek Prince had, was from 2 Corinthians 2:14. It's an awesome verse. Thanks be to God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ and to manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So that begs the question, are you sure that you're sure you're in Christ? Well, you need to look in the scripture and find out what does it mean to be in Christ, which is why I think Smith Wigglesworth and Derek Prince and the likes of those people and many others I know found out about the power of taking communion daily, because the Lord said, when I see the blood upon the houses where you are, the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. That verse still has power today in Exodus 12:13. And are we the house of the Lord? It says in Hebrews 3:16, we're the house of the Lord if we hold fast the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We can't go wishy-washy back and forth. We have to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, because if we're in Christ, we always triumph. It's what it says in the Word. He can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. So if we're in him, and Jesus says in John 6, 50, yes, John, is that where it is? Yes. John 6:56, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. He dwells in us. And that's how we know that we know that is Christ in us, the hope of glory, because we continue to continually drink into one spirit with him, like it says in Corinthians, and he's joined unto the Lord as one spirit. It's amazing that he wants to fellowship with us, but he does. And it's so wonderful to gaze into his eyes. And there's a holy reverence that you develop when you realize that that blood represents not only the life of God, but also represents the fire of God and the judgment on the unjust. And that's why the enemy is so terrified of it. Because his eyes that are talked about as red with wine in Genesis 49:12, in the book of Revelation 19:12, his eyes is a flame of fire. It's also in the earlier part of Revelation as a flame of fire. And the lake of fire is where Satan and all the yucky puckies are going. So that's the deal. His blood protects us. It's a wall of fire around about us. And the glory in the midst, like it says in Zechariah 2:5. So the enemy cannot touch us if we keep the doors closed to the enemy. We don't go, like Pat was talking about, you don't want to go out and start looking at movies and things that are put out by the enemy to try and lead us off the path. We need to stay in that little straight and narrow path. We don't want to go off to the, you know, the right or the left. And as long as we're walking with the Lord and listening to him, and Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not heed. We just need to slow down and listen to him and listen to his word and ask him to teach us. And I just want to also, for those who might not have heard it before, that verse I read from Luke 10:19-20, where all the demons are subject unto us, but we don't rejoice about that. We shift our focus immediately back to the Lord, and that's where we need to keep our focus, that, you know, that our names are written in heaven. But that verse is really powerful, and it's really good to speak that verse and command the enemy not to steal the word of God from your heart and mind before you read it out loud. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So that's my 2 cents, and I'll be quiet.
Well, you know, that was very, very good. And what we're trying to do here on I had a call, but evidently they dropped off somehow. So just call back and we'll pick up the phone to you. Marshall, this is what we're trying to do, is we're trying to turn people to the power of God, not the power of the devil. And over the years, many, many times, as you begin to teach the reality of the devil and how he works and the fact that the body does need deliverance, and a lot of times when Christians discover that the devil's real, then they get zeroed in on him instead of connecting in to God. And that's what God has probably been talking to you about and me about. It's, you know, baby Christians, they have to learn bit by bit, drop by drop. But the most important thing that they have to learn very, very quickly is who Jesus Christ is, and that his power is sufficient for them. And that when they call on his name, he shows up. And so that was why I started this particular program out the way I did, teaching on the battle. And there's a battle, but we win the battle. The devil does not win the battle. And he's more afraid of a Christian than they are of him, really. Because he knows the moment that they see that they have overcoming power, that he'll be defeated in their life. And it takes time to get these principles into people's life. But if we keep teaching the word and speaking the word and speaking about Jesus, then we'll know, and they'll know. We do have a call. Let's see who this is. 347, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Pat, this is Cassia from New York City.
Hi.
Hey. I did learn a lot from the program today, especially about the part with unforgiveness and how it harbors a lot of things in you and invites sicknesses. As we prayed on that subject, I felt very loose, and I believe that the Lord delivered me from a lot of things that I thought was the fault of my parents. But now I know that everything, like, is in the hands of God, and I don't have to blame anyone for anything, and I just have to rely on God. And I just want you to agree with me so that Lord has mercy on me and delivers me from every sickness and from anything that the devil has hold over my life because of anger and bitterness.
What is your sickness? What's wrong with you?
I used to have this thing on my skin, and it goes and comes back and goes and comes back and takes my hair away, too.
Okay, well, Brother Marshall's going to pray for you to be healed because you got delivered from the unforgiveness, which was probably the source of that.
Okay.
So he's going to release the healing power over you right now, Brother Marshall.
Thank you, Father. I just wanted to ask you before I pray, have you had this your whole life, or did it start?
Yes, it started when I was very young.
When you're very young?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Father God, we come joyfully and boldly before your throne of grace, a time of need for our sister in Jesus' name, because of the blood of Jesus, only because of the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. We thank you for redeeming her, precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you that it is written, but he, the Lord Jesus, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement that brings us peace, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken was upon him. Jesus was chastised, so she is not. And we thank you, Jesus, for taking that chastisement in her place, in each one of our places that are members of your body. We thank you for the privilege of being bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, like it says in Ephesians 5:30. And death hath no more dominion over you. You already died. And we reckon ourselves dead to every sin. Amen, sister?
Amen.
You reckon yourself dead to all sins, including unforgiveness, right?
Yes.
Amen? Okay.
Amen.
Well, then it says, the curse caused live shall not come. And since it started when you were so young, Father, I remit the sins of the parents and those that might have caused anything to come upon this young woman, Father, even as a child, in Jesus' name. Because as whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. And Jesus said, the things I have done, you will do, and greater things than these. And Jesus forgave many people's sins by the power of the Spirit. And we do under the same unction of the Spirit, not I personally, but by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in me, in Jesus' name. And so the curse causeless shall not come. Father, it says in Psalm 107, verse 20, you sent your word and healed them. So, Father, I send that same word that's very powerful, very quick, to cut away every demonic spirit, every spirit of infirmity, in Jesus' name. Right now, the word of God is quick and powerful. Loose her! Never return. Go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go and never come back, in Jesus' name. And, Father, I ask that you make her every whit whole, because it says in your word, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Sister, could you just say, Jesus, you're my Lord?
Jesus, you're my Lord.
And just say, I believe in my heart.
I believe in my heart.
Father God.
Father God.
That you have raised.
That you have raised.
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
From the dead.
From the dead.
By your glory.
By your glory.
And I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Lord.
Because he lives.
Because he lives.
I shall also live.
I shall also live.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, it says in that scripture, it says, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, it says we'll be saved. It says, but that word saved in Greek is sozo. It means saved, healed, delivered, preserved, and made whole. So, Father, I thank you for performing your word. I ask you to make this sister every whit whole including her skin, in Jesus' name. And is not my, his word is like a balm. It's like the balm of Gilead. His name is as ointment poured forth. So I pour the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth as the balm of Gilead over you now, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that name. I thank you for the name above all names, at whose name sickness, disease, every type of skin eruption must yield and must bow to the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Have nothing further to do with her ever again, and go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go, and be every whit whole, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Your
thank
faith
you.
Has made you whole.
Amen.
Amen.
We all agree.
Amen.
Amen. And I just had this sensation as you prayed over me, so I know that the Lord has healed me. I've never had it before. And I believe it's
God.
A healing sensation, and I'm just so excited.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just keep thanking him,
because he inhabits the praises of his people. And remember what happened to the leper, the Samaritan. There were 10 lepers, but one came back when he realized, because as they were heading off to the priest to show themselves, as Jesus asked them to, which happens to fit in, by the way, if you get to look it up, Leviticus 14, it's powerful. The beginning of Leviticus 14 is the cleansing of the lepers. You know, lepers had a skin problem. So you might want to read Leviticus 14. It's a really, really powerful. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus. Because
praise
Jesus said, he called them clean. He pronounced them clean, the priest. And Jesus is our high priest, and he pronounces us clean in Jesus' name. So all the unclean spirits are out of here in Jesus' name. But anyway, when the Samaritan, realized he was clean, he turned back and he bowed down to Jesus. Of course, you're only supposed to worship God, right? So he knew he was God. He bowed down to Jesus and he worshiped him and he thanked him. And he said he was made every whit whole. And the lepers, sometimes they lost, you know, earlobes or the tip of their nose or fingers or whatever, tips of fingers. The other lepers were healed, but they weren't made whole. That, the tenth one, was made whole. Everything was, he did a creative miracle on that fellow because he was had an attitude of gratitude. He came back and thanked the Lord. So it's an awesome thing for us to remember, to rejoice in the Lord always and keep thanking him. When he does the things, you may think, oh, well, you know. I mean, he's healed me of many things, and I'm so grateful. I used to have terrible gastric reflux for decades. Well, yes, it was decades. And then I went to a healing ministry, and I didn't understand these things at all then, but I mean, I'm beginning to, but these people, they got me to repent, just like you realized about the unforgiveness, and that's a very important one to come out of agreement with, because that's a nasty spirit, and it had terrible control over me for many years. But I had to repent, and then somebody knew what they were doing, just commanded it to leave in Jesus' name, and I yawned or burped or something anyway, and they coughed, and it left. And it's, but I want to keep it away. I don't want to let it back in again. So don't be careful to hold every thought captive. You can even speak that out of your mouth. Every thought captive and subject to the complete obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you get a weird thought, all spirits of vain imagination, I bind you and I thrust you into the cage and lock you in Jesus' name. Because, you know, we've gagged you. We don't listen to the enemy anymore in Jesus' name. But you have to speak it out loud out of your mouth. You know, you don't have to do it in front of unbelievers, or unless you want to, but that's a really helpful thing to do.
And as you were talking about being made whole, my body, you know, started shaking like all over. So I know the Lord has delivered me and made me whole. It's just amazing how his word works very fast in me.
Thank you, Lord, for hastening your word to perform it. Thank
well,
you, Lord.
Be sure to call us next week and let us know. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Call us with a follow up of your praise report.
Amen.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless you.
We have another call on 281.
Hello, Dr. Pat and Dr.
Hello.
Sabrina and Brother Marshall. I want to thank you for the program that for the Bible study tonight, especially on the mind control. This is Margaret. And
hi, Margaret.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Because I've been dealing with this for about 2 or 3 years now. And I knew someone had control of my mind because I would wake up and I could hear my mind giving information out. And I thought, I don't think I'm going crazy, but and they controlled me with the ringing of the telephone or the doorbell, especially when I sit in my favorite chair. And this is odd because the only people that I associate with, you know, say they are born again Christians.
Uh-huh.
You know, we meet people in the grocery store, but I mean, as far as, you know, acquaintances and friends, these have all been, I mean, they say they're Christians, but they had control of my mind. And then they would, this morning I was giving out my address, and I woke up and I come to myself and shook myself. I said, Mom, I'm giving out my address. And, you know, it's like I was writing it down. And the other day, about 5 days ago, they wanted my Social Security number. But before I gave that out, it's like I came to myself. And I thought, what is going on? I thought I'd been losing my mind. But I really do thank you for the program tonight. And I do apologize for not being at the last the workshop. But prior to that, all of a sudden, I was in the hospital. I found myself in the hospital having a heart attack. And I thought, what is going on with me?
Mm.
So I've been under a lot of torment. But your program tonight was really a blessing. And I thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over all mind control. And any wizards that's coming into my sister's house at nighttime, we break the garland and we command every devil, every witch, every wizard that has been working powers over this sister, your job is done. Now, these devils, you come out of her potions, you come out of her, and every watcher and every listener and every reporter, we command that you go back in confusion, and everything that was released over this sister must return sevenfold. And Father God, we break all mind control in Jesus' name, and we ask that you bring her mind to a single mind. And that singleness of mind, God, you said that you would rebuke the devourer, and we bind every spirit in the double mind, and we command those spirits to get out right now. All programming, go instantly, immediately. You go right now, back where you came from, and we forbid you to ever return in the name of Jesus. We give you praise, God, that subconscious mind is open, and all of those devils that have been layered into that mind, you come out now. Go. Every one of them. We've already named you, and you have to go. Not one can stay. Everyone. Now, Father, this lady belongs to you, and we ask that you close the doors. And we ask that you fill her with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Cover her with the blood of Jesus. Hide her under the rock that no devil can find her. And in Jesus' name, God, we ask that you drive every hidden spirit out right now with your fire. With your fire. Come out. Out. In the name of Jesus. Immediately, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The blood of the Lamb. Fill her with faith, God. Just fill her up with the supernatural faith to believe that she can walk and you're walking with her every step of the way. And we give you praise and glory.
And glory.
Okay, Margaret.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Okay.
Alexa.
Okay. Well, here we are. We're at 209. You're on the air, 209.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. How are you? Hello, Pat. This is Irene.
I just wanted to thank you because I think every time that you minister, there is a deliverance and some positive influence in the life of those people that are listening to you. And I think it has been many, many times that I did receive a lot of healing from you. But there is, from the Word of God, of course, as you preach and minister. But I have done a warfare in all the ways that I have learned over the years, and I resisted the enemy in the best way I could. But yet I am having problems specifically in my right hand with the arthritis, and they're basically just the right hand and the middle and the index finger. They hurt me. And they're trying to twist. And I have done so far all that I know to do against this attack. It's something that I don't know where is the door open or where is the door that has not been closed in my life. I have been trying to clear things from my home and some of the things that I have received from other ministry over the years in books and tapes and other things. And it's systematic. Every single day the Lord leads me, and I know that there probably is so much more to do. Mm-hmm. But specifically in this area of my physical problem, I would like to have a prayer or whatever you choose.
Let's let Marshall pray for you.
Okay. Marshall? Thank you.
Hi. You said your name is Irene, is that right?
Yes.
You know, Irene means peace. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's what I heard it means.
Yeah, it means peace. And Jesus purchased you, Irene, with his blood, right?
Right.
Because that's what it says in 1 Peter. And if he loves you that much that he shed his blood for you, it's awe-inspiring. And it wants, you know, and he wants us to do those things that please him. And you know, a lot of us have heard, you know, we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. But I don't know about you, but I came across a verse, there's a couple of them that confirm it. But there's one right in front of one of my favorite verses in John 15. And I think this is relevant. Jesus says in right ahead of John 15:13 is verse 12. This is in red letters. This is Jesus speaking. He says, and this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So my question is, I heard a pastor ask my wife this once. He was a seasoned pastor. And he said, you do pray for those who despitefully use you, don't you, sister? You've heard that verse?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, but you know, I went to a teaching ministry, and there was a lady, I think her profession is a school teacher. She's pretty good at what she does. She's a good teacher. And she opened my spiritual eyes a little wider because she realized that most people realize that if they've carried a grudge against God, and I probably had been there in the past. I was waving my fist at him when my brother died, and I thought, even though I didn't know who he was, and I carried grudges against other people, and they made me sick. But this teacher helped me to understand that, you know, we have relationships in all ways, including with ourselves. And you know what? We can't love our neighbors as ourselves or as Jesus loved us if we don't love ourselves. So I heard about a lady who had a sickness, and when she heard that teaching, she said, well, I've always kind of hated myself. And then she heard, well, it says in the Word that Jesus has loved me with an everlasting love. The Lord has loved me with an everlasting love. It says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. My name is engraved in the palms of his hand. He keeps me as the apple of his eye. You know, and she suddenly realized that she was believing a lie because she always thought she wasn't any good. I think we've been hearing about programming, and some of us have been programmed. I heard a little of this when I grew up. Well, if you could be like your brother, and I forgive my parents, you know, I've been through this. But you know what I mean? So sometimes we believe those things that we've heard from teachers or older siblings or somebody or somebody we looked up to, and they said, well, you know, you're not as good as whatever. And even if you just watch television at times, you know, that, you know, you need this to be glamorous like this movie star, or you need this to be acceptable in the something. You need a bright white smile, so you need to go get this product or something. Well, it makes us think that we're not accepted, except Jesus took our rejection so we could be accepted in the Beloved. But we have to definitely forgive not only everybody who's offended us, but we have to, and God, but we have to forgive ourselves too. So that's where that's what I wanted to make sure that you've dealt with those different issues. Is that right?
I really maybe try to deal with it, but still I know that there is a lot of guilt about not doing enough or not pleasing the Lord enough or doing the wrong things.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking, you see, our battle's not against flesh and blood. There's a spirit of unforgiveness. There's a spirit of bitterness. You know, it talks about a root of bitterness in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. It's a very bitter fruit. And it says we're supposed to pluck it up by the root and plant it in the depths of the sea in verse 6 of Luke 17. So it's a spirit. It's not us. And that's the thing we need to see. We need to separate ourselves from the different little spirits that we might have picked up along the way. And some of them can be generational. You know, sometimes they run in family lines. For me, I can see that in some of my family members. It isn't just a humility. It's beyond that. It's almost a self-loathing, you know, not being appreciative of oneself. And then the spirit world precedes what happens in the natural. So if we don't like ourselves, it's like we're fighting against ourselves, and it's like an autoimmune thing happens, and then our bodies try to agree with where our spirits are. And I'm not saying you, but it can happen to different people. So,
I understand. What you're saying.
So before I pray for the healing, let me just lead you in a simple prayer, and you thank the Lord for it afterwards. And if you don't feel like doing this, you don't have to. This is just a suggestion, okay?
That's
are you
okay.
All right with that?
Oh, yes, I am.
Okay. So, Father God, just
Father
repeat
God.
After me. I come boldly before your throne of grace.
I come boldly before your throne of grace.
In time of need.
In time of need.
Because of the blood.
Because of the blood.
Of my high priest.
Of my high priest.
And the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus.
And the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus.
And ask you, Father, to forgive me.
And I ask you, Father, to forgive me.
For entertaining. For entertaining or listening to.
Or listening to.
Any spirit of bitterness.
Any spirit of bitterness.
Unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
Resentment.
Resentment.
Retaliation.
Retaliation.
Anger.
Anger.
Hatred.
Hatred.
Violence.
Violence.
And murder.
And murder.
Including murder with the tongue.
Including murder with the tongue.
Against anyone.
Against anyone.
Including myself.
Including myself.
And you.
And you.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I didn't know what I was doing.
I did not know what I was doing.
And cancel the curses.
And cancel the curses.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank
Amen.
You, Father. Thank you, Father. It says, if we confess our sins, Father, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, I thank you that Jesus not only washes Irene with his blood, that gives her her peace, so that she is Irene, who is peace. But I thank you, Father, that Jesus is sending his word afresh to Irene and making her every whit whole. Father, I ask you to restore her in every way, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. Because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm asking, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, who has all power in heaven and earth, my high priest and Irene's high priest, as we come before you because of the blood of the covenant, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for making Irene every whit whole, and we thank you and we praise you for doing so, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And every spirit, wait a minute, every spirit of infirmity, every spirit causing deformity, every spirit causing arthritis or any symptoms of arthritis, I cancel all word curses and every curse, every foul and unclean spirit, I command them, loose, Irene, and never return. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name, go where Jesus Christ of Nazareth tells you to go, and don't ever come back again.
Amen.
And every spirit of bitterness, I bind you in Jesus' name against God, self, and others affecting Irene and all underlings under bitterness, including unforgiveness, resentment, retaliation, anger, hatred, violence, and murder, including murder with the tongue. I command you to rend nothing, harm no one on the way. Loose and go to the dry place and never return in Jesus' name. And you strong man of bitterness, I command you be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the depths of the sea against God, self, and others affecting Irene. Never have anything more to do with her ever again, and you may never return in Jesus' name. I decree it and declare it in Jesus' name because of the blood of the covenant,
Amen.
The blood of Jesus against you in Jesus' name.
Hey,
thank you, Father.
Irene, take a deep breath and let Jesus touch you with the Holy Ghost with fire. That's right. All
thank
of the others run out by the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Jesus.
All hidden spirits. Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Get into the Word now and let it play over you at nighttime and call
yes.
us and let us know next week what's going on, okay?
Thank you.
Call us with your praise report in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bless
okay.
you too. Bye-bye. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Bye-bye. We have 111. You're on the air. Hello? 111. One more time. 111. Hello? Well, got the hand up, but not speaking. So we'll go to... let's see, Nicole.
Hi, Dr. Pat, Sabrina, and Marshall.
Hey, Nicole.
Hey, God bless you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got
a How are you guys all in that part of the world?
You got a praise report?
Yes. The Lord has been teaching me and using this program to help teach me, and God is so good. A word that I heard the other night, the Lord says, vengeance is of mine, my daughter. And I'm like, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
Yeah, you got a word for Brother Marshall?
Not from the Lord per se, maybe just, you know, I just appreciate everything that you guys are doing very much. And I know God's rejoicing. The Lord rejoices in the work that's being done here. So that's from the Lord. I can feel that in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus.
How's your radio program going?
I have stopped for a little while. I told you I stopped for a little while. And, you know, just dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, you know, and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty.
Well, you know, we were talking about that earlier, and Brother Marshall and I, we know that that is the secret of deliverance, and we know that deliverance is like, it happens, but then after it happens, is what counts, and that really is getting in the secret place. Do you have a testimony about that? I believe Brother Marshall told you to take communion the other time when you called in.
No, but I do take communion, and I repent, you know, of pride, doubt, unbelief, you know, I ask the Lord to increase my faith all the time, and I spend a lot of time on my knees and on my face to the Lord. And yeah.
Marshall, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I'm just thinking about some of the examples in the Word. I think about Moses. He met God, as it were, speaking to him out of this flame of fire out of a bush in Exodus 3, is it, I think. And then the Lord told him he's going to go back and he's going to use him. Moses, who me? I can't speak well, you know. But he's going to go back to Egypt, and he said that, you know. So he's on his way back, and I think it's in chapter 4, it says that it said that the Lord went to kill Moses. He wanted to get rid of him because Moses didn't insist that his wife circumcise. I think he had two sons, but I think one of them wasn't circumcised. I'm not quite sure if it's both or one or whatever. Here it is, Exodus 4:24. It said, "And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill Moses. It's like, hello, wow. Does this make any sense? But that's what it said. And then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. And Jesus is our bloody husband, by the way. So let him go. And she said, a bloody husband art thou to me because of the circumcision. Well, we have a new circumcision now, a circumcision of the heart. And, of course, it talks about that in the Old Testament, too. But Moses had a very serious reverence for God. It said he was the most humble man who lived. I don't remember where that verse is right off the top of my head, but I know it says it in there. I actually heard that when I was... Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it says in the book of faith in Hebrews 11, this is where I'm going with this. And, you know, Moses is the one who was given the commandment about the Passover lamb to tell to the Israelites. And that's ultimately how they were saved. They were delivered by faith in the blood. That's how they got free from Pharaoh. It wasn't really Pharaoh. It was the demons that were working through Pharaoh. So that's who God had his issue with all those demons in Egypt. It isn't that he hated the Egyptian people. He hated the demons. But anyway, it says in Hebrews 11, you know, there's several verses there. It talks about Moses. I go back a couple of verses. Verse 24, I just wanted to get the flow of it. But I'm heading to verse 28 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And that's pretty amazing. That's like the heir apparent of a kingdom says, no thanks. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to suffer the pleasures of sin for a season. Powerful verses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So he had faith in the blood. You know why? Because when his son was circumcised by his wife as he was heading back to Egypt, his life was spared. He saw that the blood, the shedding of blood, spared his life. And he had great confidence in the blood. Now he had to have confidence in the blood of this little Passover lamb, who's a foreshadowing of the blood of the Lamb of God that John the Baptist talks about in John 1:29. So that's why when I've heard about different people, there was a lady in ministry that her name was Janine Fox. I think she's based out of Texas now, but that her ministry was attacked and she had different things physically and financially and other things, car breaking down and different things happening. But she was doing a mighty work for the Lord, you know, amazing things happening. But the Lord gave her, like, you know, a little slap on the wrist and said, but I sent my servant to tell you about the power of the blood of the covenant. And there was a man who had a wonderful ministry and a lovely family and everything was going great. And then some spirit entered into him and apparently he lost his cool. and you know, something rose up in him, and I can relate to this as a believer. I used to have a spirit of blind rage in me. I was a Christian. I'd received the Holy Spirit, but I had something of the old life that was lingering, more than just a little. And Marshall went down, and this other spirit came up, and I think that's what happened to this brother. I don't know the details. But he ended up losing his wife. They got divorced or separated or whatever, and his family and finances, lost his house, lost his job, lost his ministry, was thrown in prison, I think for, you know, abuse, whether it was physical or just verbal, I don't know. He was thrown in prison, and he repented to the Lord, and the Lord met him. The testimony that Janine Fox tells is that the Lord appeared to him as he, like, walked through this wall in his prison and came with bread and wine, just like it talks about Melchizedek met Father Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings in, where is that, Genesis 14:18. And that is a really, really powerful scripture, because that's Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And it says, you know, if we're Christ, then we're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I just want to encourage everyone listening, but especially you, sister, that there's great safety. That is the secret place of the Most High, because it says, let me just finish reading this one here. It says in Genesis 14:18, and Melchizedek, king of peace, king of Salem, so he's king of righteousness and king of peace, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. And if you read the beginning of Hebrews 7, it refers back to this. And Jesus is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He ever lives to make intercession for us, it says in Hebrews 7:16. So, because he always lives. He has the power of an endless life. And guess what? Christ is our life. So when we overcome the accuser of the brethren by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we love not our lives unto the death, well, we've already died, because we reckon ourselves dead to every sin, and Christ is our life, and his life is eternal. He's given us the gift of eternal life. So we don't have to sweat anything. We don't have to worry. We have a supernatural peace because of his blood. Anyway, Janine Fox, when she got a hold of this and she remembered what happened to this brother, then he met the Lord, and he was praying and fasting on his knees, like you're talking about, humbling himself before the Lord, repenting for what he did. The Lord delivered him. And the Lord, and he got a revelation on communion, and he came and he taught 12 people in New York City. He taught them about the power of the blood of the covenant, because that is the New Testament. It's the New Testament in his blood. And he admonished them to do it regularly. And I can point to a couple of scriptures. You know, I mean, people eat food regularly, and Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God shall man live. And it says that they broke bread daily from house to house in Acts 2, I think it's verse 46 or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's tremendous power in that covenant in the spirit realm. And when Janine Fox got a hold of it, and it isn't a ritual, she started having communion daily. But she would spend time in the Word. She spent time worshiping the Lord, getting down on her knees, I'm sure, because that's what worship means. It means to bow down, because that's why we're not supposed to bow down to any other God, but the God, the one true Creator God. Worship the Father, worship Jesus, and she took communion and been doing that. And she's had when she made the tape or the DVD, I saw it said it had been 8 years and she hadn't had one sick day. She hadn't had anything, any financial problems, hadn't had any attacks of the enemy, because that blood of the covenant is our guarantee. And it says in Isaiah 9, his name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the name, you look up the name Wonderful, maybe you already have, and it comes from the Hebrew word Pele, which is the same word as secret. His name is Secret. And our Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you pray to your Father, you go in the door, you close your door, and you pray to your Heavenly Father in secret. That means in Jesus. That means in that covenant, because of the blood that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And that's in Matthew 6:6. We pray to our Father in secret. Jesus is, He has a name that no man knows but he himself. I think that says in Revelation 19, it's around verse 11, 12, somewhere in there. But he has a name that no one knows but he himself. That's secret. That sounds like secret to me. And this is the honor of, we're called to be kings and priests unto his Father, and unto his God and our God. And it's the honor of a king to search out a matter. So we get to search these things out and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. And so that's what Jeanine Fox did. And God's no respecter of persons. And if he's been blessing her in her ministry when she got a hold of the power of communion, I think, you know, just because Smith Wigglesworth and others have done it before doesn't mean that it's the end all and be all. But I think because Jesus left that as one of the last things he did before he left this earth in the natural, I mean, his body went up, that I think we need to remember that. And I came across a church just last week, and I was like, wow. I thought the church I've been involved with, you know, they had communion every, you know, once a month on Sunday, and plus, you know, twice a week during the week for those who are willing to come. But, you know, this church, they had communion every single Sunday as part of their worship service. I was like, wow, that's really awesome. So, anyway, I just wanted to encourage all of us with that.
Thank you for that, Brother Marshall.
You're welcome. I don't want to sound like I know it all, because I don't.
No, well, you really know your scripture, though. I mean, you have a really good memory as well.
Well, you know what?
Thank God for that. It isn't me.
Because
the
it
Holy
says
Ghost.
I thank the Lord for what he said in his word. He said the Holy Ghost will bring to remembrance what Jesus has said to us. So
yes,
I thank the Holy Spirit for bringing to recollection. And then I do what I admonished somebody earlier in this call or whatever. And I before I read the word, most of the time I will command the enemy not to steal a single word of God from my heart and mind in Jesus' name.
Amen.
According to the promise in Luke 10, 19, and 20, because the spirits are subject unto me in Jesus' name. And I just was listening before this call to Mark chapter 4, and it says that's what the enemy comes to do. He comes to steal the word of God from our hearts. So he told us in three of the Gospels that's what he does. So maybe we need to resist him with the word.
Amen.
That's right.
Man, as you were speaking all those scriptures, I just kept hearing in my spirit, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's what he wants us to do. Keep looking to him. Keep looking, beholding the Lamb.
Amen.
I mean, that's what our faith is. You know, when the Israelites were being bitten by the snakes, they asked Moses, pray to God to take away these snakes. Well, he didn't. He said, I got a different plan. I'm going to put this fiery serpent on a pole. Well, Jesus became the fiery serpent, as it were, the brazen serpent. And the brass talks of the judgment of God. You were talking, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Well, he did. He absolutely hates sin because it's
mm-hmm.
demons. And he wants mm-hmm. to burn them all up. Well, but the problem is that we've all had a few of them.
Yeah.
And if you got rid of every demon, you know, I mean, there'd be a there wouldn't be anybody left, hardly. I mean, I don't know if anybody would be left. So he has to purify us, and there's two fires. And this is something I've been meditating on recently, that in the book of Acts in chapter 2, I think it's verse 3, it talked about flames of fire on their head. So there's a fire from heaven,
mm-hmm.
which is the good fire, the Holy Ghost. And then there's another fire in James 3:5. It says, this is, I guess I should read it. It's pretty nasty, but, you know, let me find that easily, Lord. James 3:5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And then I guess the next verse. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. It defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. So I was like, whoa. So there's two different fires. And we have the fire from heaven that purifies us of the Holy Spirit. It says oil beaten for light. That's the light. You know, Jesus is the light. The Holy Ghost is light. God is, well, anyway. But there's another fire. And I think we've all experience that a little bit. So since it says death and life is in the power of the tongue in Proverbs 18:21, And then I came across a verse. It was on my pastor's desk. I saw it a month or so ago, and I said, "Oh, that's a good verse. I need to look that up." And then I looked it up, and I said, "Whoa! I need to ask the Lord to do that for me." And it's in Psalm 141. I think it's verse 3. Psalm 141. I think I can look that up again. Psalm, just to make sure I'm not misleading anyone. Because that is really, really helpful. If death and life is in the power of the tongue, and I used to have a little fire come out of my mouth, especially when I had that spirit of blind rage that came out of me that wasn't me, I said pretty nasty things. It says in Psalm 141:3, and we can pray this, Father, in Jesus' name, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. So that's what we need to do. And when his blood is on our lips, that is a tremendous protection for us, because you can't, as a real Christian, take communion and not have a holy fear of God, because you know it not only reminds you of the blood that He shed, it also reminds you of the lake of fire where the nasty spirits are going, and it says all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, and if His eyes are as you know, as wine or as a flame of fire, if the spirits are naked and opened unto his eyes, and you're talking of judgment, and I think it's Proverbs 20, verse 8, says, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. So if we want to be purified and ready and have our garments pressed in white when the king returns and the trumpet is, you know, we hear that shout of the archangel and it's coming.
Yes, Lord.
People don't know. It may be coming sooner than I know, but it's coming. We're getting much closer than when I first believed, that's for sure. I'm not picking the date, but it's definitely coming. You know, then there's going to be he's going to be sitting on his throne of judgment. And I was at a meeting once, and a pastor, he didn't say anything mean. He didn't glower, but he knew the spirit realm. And well, I'll give credit where credit is due. Henry Wright, he's hardly ever is at the church in Pleasant Valley in Thomaston, Georgia, but he was there, and he's just walking up, and I was sitting there getting ready to take my pre-lunch supplements. I was addicted to vitamins. I thought they were my savior. Guess what? Jesus is my savior. It's good to eat healthy and everything, but the best healthy food is the Word of God. But he just looked at me with love, and I never forgot that look, because I had this handful of capsules and pills and things that I was in bondage to. I thought they were going to rescue me, spending probably thousands of dollars a year on supplements that I could have been putting in the mission field or doing something useful for God's kingdom instead of lavishing it on this piece of flesh that's, you know, not going to be here forever. I got a new body waiting for me. So
right. Die to the flesh.
So anyway, so he, it says he guides us with his eye. And that's what's happening. And that's why when he says, I'm supposed to love everyone as he loved me. I mean, it's hard enough for me to love people as I love myself. But to love as he loved me? I mean, that's impossible apart from the Holy Ghost shedding his love abroad in our hearts. Because there's a lot of people that, you know, they look at you funny and you know, do you want to be nice to them? No, we need to pray for those who despitefully use us, even just look at us funny. So, praise the Lord. Anyway,
well, thank you.
I've talked too much. Excuse me for going on and on.
That's okay. I was thinking of a testimony, but I can see you probably have another caller now, right, Pat? Do you?
Well, what we've got to do is, you know, the bombs are the wars going on over
there. Oh, in Israel, yes. That's
and
a good.
So I was going to get Marshall to pray for Israel.
That's a good idea.
And
well, I think we should all pray in agreement.
Yes. Go ahead, Marshall.
Father God, oh, help us, Father, in Jesus' name. We come boldly and joyfully before your throne of grace, Father. Lord, it says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and you turn it whichever way you will as the rivers of water, Lord. Father, we ask you to move on the hearts of all the leaders of all the nations to do according to your will. Because you rule in the affairs of men from heaven, Father God, it says in the book of Daniel. We ask you to rule in the affairs of men, especially in the nation, in the nation of Israel. The nation that's supposed to be reflecting you, Lord. Nation and the city called by your name, the name of Jerusalem, the flow of peace because of the blood of the Lamb of God. We ask, Father, you told us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Father. And so we come boldly before your throne of grace because of the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, who's purchased us. And we ask you, Father, to have mercy on those people that are already your children and those that you want to be your children, Father God. We ask you to draw many into the kingdom at this time, Father God, many, Jew and Gentile alike, Palestinian, descendants of Ishmael, descendants of Abraham. Draw all the descendants of Abraham to the Lord Jesus, Father God. And all those created in your image, all those human beings, Father God, wherever they're descended from, it doesn't matter, because you're no respecter of persons, Father God. We ask you to draw them to the Lord Jesus, because it says in your word, no man cometh to the Lord Jesus save you, draw them. We ask you to deliver them from all ungodly spirits, including spirits of fear. We ask you to send your angels to watch over those that are your children, Father God, your strong guardian angels, warring angels, including the angel of the Lord that encampeth round about them, that fears them and delivers them. We ask you to camp around about your people and deliver them, Father God, in Jesus' name. We know that he who began to, because Jesus came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and you wouldn't have sent your son to the lost sheep of the house of Israel if that was not dear to your heart, Father God. So we ask you to redeem the lost sheep of the house of Israel, because you already paid the price. Because his work is before him. He already paid the price. He came once and shed his blood. And that blood is still speaking better things than that of Abel. And I plead and sprinkle the blood of Jesus who will over all those who are and will be members of the body of Messiah Jesus, Father, in the nation of Israel and all around the world, for that matter, Father God, particularly in Israel, including the Palestinian believers, Father God. Hallelujah, and all the believers in surrounding areas, including the Coptic Christians in Egypt, deliver them, Father God, from the persecutions that they're enduring. Father God, you pray for, said to pray for them that despitefully use us. Father, I pray for those people who have been deceived by the enemy. Father God, we ask you, even as you've already done, to visit many, Father God, even as you visited Saul of Tarsus when he was breathing out terrible things against your people and you wanted to your kingdom, Father God, you showed up. The Lord Jesus showed up as a light brighter than the noonday sun. And I've heard about people in Afghanistan who've actually met the Lord Jesus and changed from Islam to believing in Jesus, to what we call Christianity. Father, we ask you to draw many into the kingdom, all in that area, Father God, particularly in the Middle East, in the nation of Israel, and in Jerusalem in particular. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Father God, that you'll bind every ungodly spirit that is operating, trying to cause killing, stealing, and destroying, trying to hurt your children, trying to hurt the widows and the orphans, because I know they're near and dear to your heart, Father God. You protect the widows and the orphans, especially, Father God, and all those who are already in blood covenant, and teach your children. You said, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children, you said in Isaiah 54. So we ask you to teach your children, Father God. They're your children. We ask you, we give them to you. We ask you to teach them, plead the blood of Jesus over them, Father God, and ask you, Father God, to send your warring angels to watch over and protect them. And we claim all the benefits of Psalm 91 for all of your saints and all that will be saints, Father God, in Jesus' name, including the widows and the orphans coming into the kingdom. We ask you to draw them to the Lord Jesus. Give them to the Lord Jesus. Jesus said he's not lost one that you've given him. So we ask you to give many, all those that you will, Father God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask you, Father God, to give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and understanding hearts, Father, that they will recognize the real Messiah. They will recognize their real Savior in this time. And you said in your word, if two of you on earth agree touching anything you ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. According to your word, Jesus said in Matthew 18:19. And you cannot lie. Jesus only speaks the words you've given him to speak. He is God. He can't lie. You can't lie, Father. So we thank you for performing your word. Thank you for saving many, and we ask you to send the Holy Ghost, Father, to do a great work and send the proper labors to each one to instruct them and guide them into the way of peace, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just give you praise and glory. We thank you, Father, for America. We thank you, God, that you will protect us during these hours of tribulation. And we ask you, God, that you just keep us out of war, God. We know that the devil wants to bring us to war. We bind up that spirit of Zeus over the New World Order, and we bind its warring powers in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you will bring our families into the kingdom very quickly, God.
Amen.
Everyone listening, we will give you praise and glory. We pray for our churches, God, and the pastors. And we ask you, God, to awaken them to the hour and the times and the seasons that they're living in. We pray for the backslidden all over the country. And we ask you, God, that you give them an opportunity to quickly come into the kingdom. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for all of our children and our family. And we call our families in quickly, God. We ask that you release workers in the field to speak to them about Jesus. We give you praise and glory that we believe Acts 2:38-39, repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy household and as many as the Lord shall call. We give you praise that we're calling them in Jesus' name. Nicole, do you have a prayer?
Praise God. Sure, Dr. Pat. Lord God, we just thank you, Lord, for this program, Lord. And I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to please bless every listener, Lord. Bless this ministry, Lord. Bless the people that are coming out of the wreckage and the carnage of this world as this earth is shaking, as the mountains are being shooken, Lord, as out of the destruction and rubble, Lord God, there rose beautiful ashes. Beautiful ashes, Lord. Lord, I know that you are awakening these nations, Lord, to your truth. And that truth is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. May your will be done in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, we thank you all for coming up tonight. You know, it's always wonderful when Marshall comes up. And he keeps us right on the button, I'll tell you, because that word is powerful. And we thank God for you, Marshall. Do you have any closing remarks? We have about 2 minutes.
Well, I just want to make sure that the prayer I offered was based on Matthew 18:19. I want to make sure we're in agreement. Amen? And preferably all of us that are speaking, but those listening as well, who are believers in agreement according to the blood of the covenant, and the Lord's going to do it, because I've seen him answer that prayer many, many, many times according to Matthew 18:19, because he can't lie. He always performs his word. And this is the confidence that we have in. If we ask anything according to his will, we know he heareth us. And if he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desire of him, because he's faithful to perform as long as we're asking according to his will. And since God will have all men to be saved, to be sozo, and come to the knowledge of the truth, I know it's according to his will, in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
So we're in agreement, amen?
We're
all in agreement.
Amen. And then we thank you, Father, for answering, in Jesus' name, because you are faithful who promised. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us that great confidence that you do hear from heaven, and Jesus is at the other end of our faith. And we thank you, Father God, for raising us up together with Christ Jesus, that we're seated in him in the heavenlies. And we thank you for your promise. I think it's in Proverbs 18:10. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. That tower is Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Jesus, for the privilege of living and moving and having our being in you. And even like it says in the end of Psalm 91, because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and show him my Yeshua, show him my Jesus, show him my salvation. Amen and amen and amen.
Well, friends, we've had 55,000 listeners. As of today, and we want to thank you for supporting our ministry and for coming up, and we've enjoyed praying for you all. We would love for some of you to come up and give more testimonies, because they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so be sure to tell people about this program too. Now, we're going to see you next Wednesday, 7:30, same place, and God bless you all. Thank you, Marshall. Thank you, Nicole, Dr. Sabrina, Brother Bill, and every single person that comes and stands with us. We give God glory in Jesus' name.
I bind all spirits of retaliation and command every retaliatory spirit to be bound and thrust in a cage and locked in with the guillotine with gags in your mouth. Instantly, every spirit of retaliation is instantly thrown into a cage and locked in with the guillotine because of the blood of the covenant in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we don't rejoice that the ungodly spirits are subject unto us, but we rejoice that our names are written in heaven in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Sorting out that problem that we're going to be.
Everybody, we're going to see you Wednesday night at 7:30, same place.